Father, we thank you this morning. We rejoice in your faithfulness to speak to us at all times, to give us an inkling, an idea of the times and the season that we're in. Thank you for your grace upon us mightily. And we receive clarity and understanding to your word this morning. Thank you because questions are answered. Thank you because by your spirit revelation comes forth. And we're establishing the truth in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. All right, Mark chapter 4, we've been looking at God's word. We're looking at guard your heart. And we've been trying to steer our hearts along these lines. Well, the main text where that title came from is in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. And remember that Solomon is a preacher. So Solomon is speaking as a preacher now. And so he's speaking by the spirit of prophecy. And he gives us an idea of God's character and God's nature in those words in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 20. He says, my son, attend to my words. Incline your heart unto my word, sayings. So my words are my sayings. My words are my sayings. So if you attend to my words might be written, but they were first of all spoken. So the journey of the spoken word after it is written is that it should find its resting place in a man's heart. So he says, my son. So who is the son in this instance? Is appealing to everyone who will receive the gospel. My son, attend to my words. He says, incline your ear unto all I have said and all I'm saying. See what it says next? It says, let them not depart from your eyes. So, verse 20 says, attend. The next verse begins to explain what does it mean to attend. So he says, to give attention, which is to attend, simply means you don't let it depart from your eyes. So we said something last week that we have the ear gates and the eye gates. Now, those gates function automatically, irrespective of the information that's coming to you. Let me say it again. The gates of the ear and the eye, they're not selective when it comes to information. They simply pick up information around you. Praise God. So, but what you allow your heart to process is what now determines the actions you will take and what will show up in your life. That's important. I gave an illustration some time ago about a friend of mine who went to a barber shop, and then there was a young man there. They got into an argument, and there was a particular guy there who was in the barbing shop that began to boast of how potent he was when it comes to occultic powers. I was very potent. In fact, if I curse you, you'll not last 7 days. As I'm talking to you, I can place a curse upon you. The guy began to boast and everything. And this friend of mine believed it. And then suddenly became afraid. There was nothing extraordinary about the guy in appearance. But there were words he spoke that he listened to. And what he listened to changed his perception of that particular individual. Then two weeks after, he came back to answer Babu Sanu and began to inquire about that fellow that met there, who is he? He said, who? He said, that person, that strong jazz person. He said, who? He said, that mechanics apprentice that works down there. He said, but he said, he does jazz. He was only joking. He said, eh? Now, the perception was based on what the guy said. Now, the heart can choose what to believe because of the attention you give to what you hear. It doesn't have to be right before you believe it. Let me say it again. What you choose to believe does not have to be right or true before you believe it. You need to understand how does the heart function. That's important. My son, attend to my words now. So God is giving you an offer. And that offer is, before other voices speak, I want you to prioritize my word. If you want to live, you want to succeed, you want to prosper, voices will come. Words will be spoken in your hearing. Before they come, I want you to do something. Prioritize my word by attending to my words. Now, there is what my word contains, listen carefully, that will not find expression until it connects with your heart. That's important. So he says, my son, attend to my words. Then incline your ear to all I say. That also implies that attending to God's word is a deliberate act on your part. It's not something you do in passing. Let me say it the other way. If you were working on a project of faith, faith came into you when you received Christ Jesus. Philemon verse 6 says that the communication of what? Your faith. Contextually, it's talking about how you share your faith with others, what you have believed. But by extension, as a principle, it also means that the faith that's already in your heart, how it comes out of you, and how it gets stronger and bolder, is what you choose to acknowledge by time. So, if what the seed in my heart, which produces faith, if I keep hearing what will encourage that seed, my faith will keep growing, in quotes. Are you with me this morning? My faith will keep blossoming because I'm hearing the same thing that I heard that got me saved. I feed on the same diet. So if what I fed on produced my salvation and my liberty and my deliverance, I keep feeding on the same substance, no matter how monotonous it seems, because there is life inside those words. And I've experienced that life at salvation. I'm already saved. Glory to God. Look at James chapter 1. Verse 19 or verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creature. The word first fruit means a sampling, a testimony. That's what first fruit means, meaning a type. Something used to display a product. So the quality of this product is seen in this sample that I brought out. Glory to God. If someone wants to sell you rice, what kind of rice is it? Then you go inside, you bring a sample. You don't have to bring your whole bag of rice, isn't it? So the sample you bring, you are showing the person the quality of the rice you're about to sell, isn't it? The same principle. So we're a kind of first fruit. This is what God can do. My life is a demonstration of it. He says, of his own will, he begat me with the word of truth. The word truth there is reality. So the reality of what he has done, I am a proof of that reality in that the word has given me birth. Now look at verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all what? Filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. That's abundance of naughtiness. And when he's talking about filthiness and naughtiness, he's about to explain how the mind works. So when he says filthiness and naughtiness, he's talking about wrong thoughts, wrong ideas. Okay? Perceptions you have had before. Things you've heard. If you're listening to Paul, Paul will say, old wives' fables. Stories that are not true, but you have believed. Have you heard things like, if you go to a particular tribe in this part of the country, not this part of the country, let's say in the east, for instance, and under certain conditions, when a certain particular meat is being distributed at a particular ceremony, you cannot eat. How many of you have heard that before? You know, I'm not explaining fully. But those that know, know. And those that know are smiling. That you're not supposed to eat. Now, one of the things that has fostered, and people actually experience calamity when they go against that principle. They actually do. Now, what has fostered it has been the fact that many, many people have heard it. Many people have believed it. It has become a tradition and a law spiritually. Where did it become a law? In the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. Listen carefully. I heard of an experience some missionaries had with a particular group of people, rural area. Everybody in that particular village goes about naked. And what they worship there is sex. So everybody believes the same thing. So that particular spirit is prevalent because of the state of the heart of the people. So when they got there, what they simply did was they didn't address that spirit. They came to the men and gave them the gospel. Once the light shone in their heart, the seed that was previously there was uprooted. The light shone and the influence of that particular spirit was broken. You don't go after the spirit first. No. You go after the influence of that spirit in the hearts of men because the word of God is incorruptible. If you can enter the heart, it will break the hold of darkness. Do you understand? So if you can get, so what Satan really does most of the time is, he stops missionaries from bringing the word. He's attacking because once they speak and the word goes out and it connects with the heart of a man, the heart of man also is not selective as per seed. It's not selective. It will process whatever you allow to be planted there. It will process it. So you have the privilege of choosing what you process and what you allow to grow in the soil of your heart. You have that privilege from God. So when it says, my son, attend to my words, incline your ear, is giving you step by step what you ought to do for the word to prosper. Now the word itself is prosperity, God's prosperity, but the prosperity will not find expression until it connects with the heart. Let me say it this way. God's word on its own is potent. But the potency will not be seen the way God designed it until it is in the heart of the man that receives it. But the man that receives it cannot be forced to receive it. He will receive it willingly by allowing the process to begin. First of all, by hearing. So, go back to James. See what it says. Verse 21. Wherefore lay apart all feebleness and superfluity of lordliness, and what? Receive in what? Meekness. So, ideas are present. Thoughts are present. Contrary opinions are present. Traditional beliefs are present. He now says, you are not going to receive with meekness another word. Now, he's talking to believers. He said in verse 18, of his own will you were begotten. Say, I'm begotten of the Father. So he's talking to believers. And he now says, don't think because you are born again, you don't have naughtiness and superfluity. You don't have filthiness, which is thoughts that are contrary, and superfluity, and abundance of all kinds of negative, contrary things that has nothing to do with the will of God on the inside of you. Don't think so. In that sense, you have to receive with meekness the implanted word. Now, the word implanted simply means the word that gave you birth, where you came from, the word that made you who you are in Christ Jesus. In that sense, that same word that gave you birth, you keep listening to that word, it will now do something to your heart. Where's your heart? That invisible part of you that's the center of your will, your intellect, and your emotions. The one heart there is not talking about the recreated spirit. No. It's talking about that other part of you that can be transformed, where you can grow. That's the one that says you grow up spiritually. It's talking about that part of you that needs growth. Hallelujah. It says, receive with meekness the engrafted. So the engrafted was simply means the word that brought you forth. Now that you have been brought forth, you keep listening to that same word because it will now do something to that part of you that once had fieldiness and superfluity of what? Naughtiness. You know, unconsciously, until certain questions are posed to you and situations arise, you don't know how much of your family tradition is inside of you. Hallelujah. When I grew up, when I became an adult, there was a training I was given. It was repeated in my ear constantly that it's wrong and you're greedy if you serve the meal and you eat your meat first. Hallelujah. The way you are smiling tells me that some of you, that is, you will be spanked. If you touch your meat first, they will say you are greedy. Scene one. Scene two. Adults ought to have bigger pieces of meat than children. Scene two. And if the child that takes a bigger piece is greedy, you know, you are Africans. So you are connecting. Are you not connecting? Okay, so you don't rinse your hand in the plate where you have eaten. How many of you know that one? Okay, so I'm not saying some of those things are bad. I'm only saying that. How strong can those things be? When I grew up, I was buying meals for myself. I would avoid the meat. My mother is no longer there to cane me if I touch the meat. But the training is still there. The program is working. The software has been installed successfully. So, if I eat beyond the particular amount of meat, I'm like, why are you so greedy? Now it's my money. I can eat it. When they even offer you, you know, you're like, no, I mean, no, I know. You're like your mother's spirit opening somewhere there around. So you are going to take three pieces. You know, one time she came to us and she looked at the way we served our kid and said, ah, those pieces of meat are too big. Now I'm older and it's my house now. She's in my house. She's a guest in my house. Those pieces of meat are too big. And she was talking to my wife about it. I just smiled. I didn't say anything. I said, Mom, she was shocked when I said it. I said, may poverty not restructure your mind. He said, what do you mean? I said, in the 80s, I distinctly recall that my father was served like a king every afternoon. Six pieces of meat inside his food. He would deliberately eat a few to leave the rest for us. Six pieces. I said, I've not gotten to that level yet. Leave me and my children alone. I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. Now, she had forgotten that actually happened until I mentioned it. She went back to the training she had received from my parents and she was like, cut those. Okay, this one, cut it into three places. No, we're not cutting to three places. We're not poor. Hallelujah. Now, that's the issue. There's a programming in your mind that even when abundance comes, a program inside of you rejects it. You feel like you don't deserve it. They offer you the elevator, you say, ah, but the staircase is okay. Don't let's waste electricity. You know you have a problem. Say, don't let's waste everything. They take you to a room and suit. You say, ah, all this for me. I will lie down on one side. What's your problem? Poverty in the mind. Now this, even if there's enough funds in your account to live like a hot two, you will still live far below. Not because you are trying to be, you know, it's because that caging on the inside is telling you why. Why? Is this necessary? So that's how much the heart can be programmed in such a way it will limit you from a, that's how the, it can be programmed wrongly and it can be programmed one rightly. It now says you are to receive with meekness the implanted word. It is able. It is able. It says to save you. That is the same word that saved you. It will do something on the inside. It will bring you to that place where your thoughts and God's thoughts, your thinking and God's thinking are aligned. That is when the word that was sent to you has prospered. Look at Mark chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 13. Oh, glory to God. Are you with me this morning? Because I want you to embark on a project of faith and to decide before the year runs out. There are things you ought to have. There are things you ought to do. There's a level you ought to step into that you can program your heart to accept by deliberately, consciously attending to the word, not casually, but consistently, until the word prospers and bears fruit as stated in the scriptures. You can. Look at verse 13. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? How then will you know all parables? Can you see that? So, the parable Jesus gave, which we call the parable of the sower, is a key to understanding God's nature. Every other parable is one way or another connected to this. Now, look at what he began to say from verse 3. Akin, behold, the sower went out to sow, and it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up, and some fell on stony ground, where he had not much earth, and immediately sprang up, because he had no depth of heart. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, because he had no root, and he withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some what? And 100. Then he said something crucial in verse 9. And he said unto them, he that has ears to hear, let him what? So, of course, you know Jesus is speaking in parables. So, if you say he that has ear, who among those people present does not have ear? You need to understand what he's trying to say. He that has ear simply means the one that will hearken. Let him what? Hearken. What do you notice in that parable? One sower. What else? One seed of the same quality. What do you see the next thing? The heart. Then that's where we're introduced to what's called a variable, isn't it? Now, so the variable therefore is in the heart. How do you sow? Not by the speaking, but by the hearing. So the sower sowed simply means what was spoken, you had it. That's the sowing. Notice it says, they came. Let me read on. Let me show you the explanation. Verse 14, the sower sowed the word, and these are laid by the wayside, where the word is sown. And when they've heard, when is the word sown? When they have what? Heard. That's when it is sown. So it is not the speaking that is sowing, it is the hearing that is sowing. When it is heard, the word is sown. Look at what happens next. When they've heard, Satan cometh out immediately and takes away the word which was sown in their hearts. Now, because Jesus is giving a parable, don't always, it's called personification. So that's what is in English literature is called personification. That is, when he says, Satan cometh immediately, don't think about the being who has wings and a long tail and is black and he appeared. Satan also means opposition to what was sown. He's using horticulture to explain spiritual principles. He now says, Satan cometh immediately and takes away the word that was sown where? In their hearts. Can you see that? He comes immediately and takes away. Now, what does it mean for Satan to come and take away immediately? Go to Matthew 13. That's what you call harmony of the Gospels. That means all our Gospels will explain the same thing. They may give more clarity for you to understand. Matthew 13, and I'm going to read from verse 18. Matthew 13, verse 18. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Mark said, Satan cometh immediately. Immediately. Let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and what? Understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one, and catches away what? That which was sown. How was it sown? How was it sown? In the hearing. So what you heard, once you hear, it has been sown. Then it says, once what you heard is not understood, then the wicked one comes immediately. So let me say it again. Remember, it's personification. So when you're hearing the wicked one, Jesus is still giving a parable. So here's what he's saying. He's saying that the minute what was sown, you don't understand. That lack of understanding is the wicked one taking it away. Are you with me this morning? Once you don't understand, the minute you understand, the minute it is not understood, that is the wicked one coming to what? Take it away. That's what he's trying to say. Because it tells you the variation is in the heart. God's word has integrity, it doesn't vary. It's the same seed. The same gospel that was preached to you was preached to others. It produced same results, but the difference in the results is in how the heart received the word. Hallelujah. Remember, 1 Peter 1:23, the incorruptible seed of God's word that what? It lives and what? Abides forever. That's important. That's important for you to understand. So, Matthew gives us a little bit more clarity about what Jesus is teaching in Mark chapter 4. And what does he say? The minute the word is preached, the minute it is sown when you heard, the minute you don't understand it, something happens. Then the wicked one comes and takes away what was sown. In other words, it is yet to bear fruit on the inside. And the way to bear fruit is that it must be what? Understood. Now, it says, if you don't understand this parable, how then will you understand what? All other parables. Remember, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was, all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything that went. In Him was life, and life was the light of it. Verse 9, that is the true light that lights every man that cometh into the world. Now, pay attention. Notice the sower has sowed. After he sowed, then the wicked one came, isn't it? That is a picture of what happened in Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 2, what did God say to Adam? Of every tree you may eat, isn't it? Then what happened in chapter 3? The wicked one came. So the word has been sown. Once understanding does not take place, what will happen? So I'm using two definitions now. First of all, when I say if you don't understand, the wicked one comes. It is your not understanding that empowers the wicked one. So what does it mean for the wicked one to come? It means another thought will be given that will displace what was first spoken. Let me say it again. Another seed will be planted to displace what you did not what? Understand. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached as what? As well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit. What is the gospel according to Romans 1:16? What is the gospel according to Romans 1:16? What is the gospel? The power of God unto what? Or the power of God that will save. So, are we in agreement that God's word is God's power to save? That's the gospel. Now notice, unto us was gospel preached as well as unto them. So, first of all, because the gospel is preached to them, the way it was preached to us, shows you one thing about God. God is no respecter of what? Persons. That's important. What was preached to them was preached to us. The difference between them and us is not what was preached. It is in the response of the heart that heard the message. So, it was preached to them. It was preached to us. And the writer of Hebrews making a distinction. It says, but what was preached did not profit them because it was not what? Mixed with faith where? In their heart. That means they didn't accept it. So, why didn't it profit if it wasn't mixed with faith? They are not mixing with faith, therefore, rob them of the profiting. But what was the word meant to do? It was meant to what? Profit them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, there's profiting in the word that will come when you mix your faith, or when you accept it, or when you understand it. They're synonymous terms. Glory to God. So, God's word came. It is no respecter of persons, because God is not a respecter of persons. It is said in God's word, for instance, bless the Lord, O my soul, Psalm 103. And all that's within me, bless the holy name. Let's not rule my soul. Forget not what? All his benefits. Then begins to say, who forgives all your iniquities and one heals all your diseases? Then a thought comes to you. God will forgive all, but there are some he may not forgive. God will heal all, but with the things I have done, he may decide to punish me. Now, that psalm was written to describe God's nature and God's character, but a thought has been given to you to rob you of the understanding of that particular verse, that God is no respecter of persons. So what is God trying to do? He tries to get to your heart where the word will bear fruit. And when the word is preached and you hear, it is sown. But the challenge is this: if you don't process what was sown, and understanding does not come, the wicked one comes to catch it away by planting a different thought. So many times you've heard that God does not find fault. How many of you have heard that over and over again? James chapter 1 verse 5, God doesn't find fault. Let's be sincere with ourselves. How many of you sometimes feel when you have messed up that, I know the Bible says, but have you been there before? But so a but was introduced. Now that but is questioning the effectiveness of the word where in your heart. In other words, the experience you are having is now speaking to you loudly. An experience is trying to convince you that it is true for some people. But as per you, you know, it will be like somebody was asking me to pray that God will forgive them what they have done. I said, I can't pray that prayer. I'm not Jesus. I'm not one that died for your sins. My blood was not shed. My blood cannot save anybody. I said, what you are asking me is that you want to circumvent meditating on God's word because fears were coming to your mind for you to reach a point of persuasion that you are forgiven. Say, I'm forgiven. In the past, in the present, in the future. When we mention future now, that's when Jesus said, no. Then we begin to give proof. Hebrews 8:12. I'll be merciful to their righteousness, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now that's what he said though. Then he now put their own. Their sins and iniquities in the past, they put that one. It's not there. Their sins and iniquities in the past will I remember no more. Like, read it again. They didn't put past there. Read it again. He said, a new covenant will I make. Why is it new? Everlasting. Everlasting means it will abide forever. He said, this is what I've always wanted to do. Then he has been arguing. Then you take them back to Old Testament characters. Begin to show them that Abraham lied. He was still righteous. Are you magnifying sin? No, we are magnifying God's grace. No. We are not magnifying sin. And if you magnify God's grace and you understand, it will rescue you from the hold of sin. That's the way the Bible works. Don't you know that it's the goodness of God that leads you to what? Repentance. Not the severity of God. It's the goodness that builds you out, that strengthens you to walk the way you ought to walk. That's where God does it. Glory to God. Don't be like the prodigal son. Who came back? Why did you come back? Because you were hungry. Hunger has finished you. You came back. Because the meditation before he came back was clear. How many servants are in my father's house? They have enough to eat and enough to spare, and I'm here suffering, eating pig's food. I will now go back. Rehearse speech. It was planning on the way as I'm going. I must act sober. I'll cry more. I will kneel down. I will lie down. I'll call someone. Come and beg my father. I've sinned against heaven and against heart and against you. What a theology. He was rehearsing as he was going. I'll say, Father. So when he got there, he was not expecting the father's response. What picture was in his mind? A village headmaster, long king. As he sees you, where are you coming to? He picks cane and stones. Bastard. Then you see the one you are planning to, you know, like, if I beg him, when you are not the devil, you have been, I will beg. The way I will beg, we know that, I'm sorry. And he's not sorry. That's the bad part. He's not even sorry. But his mind is like, at least I will have something to eat. So it's hunger that brought him. He was not sorry that he left the house. It's hunger. Despite the wrong motive, God's disposition, you shall came. You came. And because you have come, God will be who he has always been. When you were here, when you left, and when you come back, it remains the same. It doesn't change. It's still love. He will still welcome with what? Open arms. So the father ran to somebody who is walking hesitantly, counting his steps before he can get there. Your father runs towards you. The one you want to confess to is hugging you. I am still confessing. I have sinned against heaven, against heart, against you. You know, it's like a reciter. You have, so because you have rehearsed it, your mind is twisted. That's the problem. In your father was like, it's like this boy, I don't know where he has been. He has forgotten who I am entirely. He said, servant, bring rope. When you are wearing robe, father, I know I'm not deserving of this thing. I have sinned against heaven, against earth. Bring shoe. Maybe his leg is paining me. Bring my ring. What is the father doing? Persuading. Persuading. Father said, okay, bring the fatted calf. Let's throw a party. So I know it's not a trap. What is God doing? Appealing to the mind of the individual. I love you still. Your unfaithfulness doesn't make me unfaithful. My faithfulness changes you from being unfaithful to being faithful. My faithfulness is strong enough to change you. That's what God is saying. Hallelujah. Did God know it was by the wayside? It still cast seed. The seed is potent. If the seed can enter, it will produce results. So Satan's work is to ensure the seed doesn't even enter. So when you hear it is sown, when it is sown, if you stay with it, understanding springs of all, you are mixing it with what? Faith. That's what's happening. But God is no respecter of persons. Psalm 119. Look at verse 8. Look at the integrity of the word in question. Look at David. I will keep your statutes. Forsake me not utterly. Look at next verse. Wherewithal shall a young man what? Cleanse his way. Is a question. Is it not by taking it according to your what? How will a young man, the youth, how will you cleanse your way? How will your decisions come into alignment? Is it not by taking it? In other words, inside the word there's direction. Inside the word there's clarity. Inside the word there's restoration even when you have made a mistake. It says, is it not by taking it? In other words, forget about the mistakes you have made. If the word will enter your heart, understanding comes. Whatever the word offers will become your experience. That's what it's saying. So your challenge, therefore, is to ensure that the word is processed until you see things the same way that God sees it. That's what it means. Hallelujah. Look at that Matthew 13 again. I'm going to read from verse 12. Or let me read from verse 14. It says, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which said, by him you shall hear, and you shall not understand. So there were people, Isaiah spoke about that. You know, when they will hear, some of them will not understand. And this prophecy is not general. This prophecy is specific to some people because it's a reaction they have towards God's word. So it's not saying the prophecy has to come to pass. It's saying there are people coming. Some will understand, some will not understand. And this will be the outcome. See what Isaiah said. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah, we said, by heaven you shall learn, you shall not understand. In seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is what? Wax gross. Their ears are dull of what? Hearing. We've heard that before. What is he going to say? You finish the sermon before they start the sermon. You even quote the verses, but the word has not entered your heart. It has not been mixed with faith. See what it says again. It says, and their eyes have they closed. Notice the function of their will. They closed it, lest at any time they should see with their eyes. What will happen? They will hear with their ears. They will understand what? With their heart. What will happen? They will be converted, and I should heal them. So, in other words, when the word was sent, the word is God's open arms, ready to save, ready to help. But the one that was sent, they closed their eyes, they closed their ears, so they closed the door of understanding. They couldn't receive the healing that was available. But the healing was available. Their understanding did not make the healing available. Their understanding was to receive the healing that was what? Available. Hallelujah. Say, God's help is with me at all times. God's help is with me at all times. Jesus spoke to disciples, let us go to the other side. And he went to go and sleep. Let us go to the other side. And he went to go and sleep. And it's the living word. You think Jesus is not aware that after the word is spoken, challenges will not arise. What did he say? Let us go to the other side. What should they be focusing on? We're going to the other side. Who said it? The master said so. And storms arose. The storm arose. It was so violent that water was coming to the ship. Mark chapter 4. And Jesus was there, was sleeping. Then they were going to wake Jesus. How do you know what is in your heart? What did Jesus say? Let us go. What did the Bible say? My son, do what? Attend to my words. What should you do? Incline your head to let us go to the other side. Don't let depart from your eyes, let us go to the other side. Keep let us go to the other side in the midst of your heart. What will happen? It is life to those who find it. And what? That is, you now see the end while you are at the beginning. So before the experience, you have had an experience with the word of God. You can see the other side. In let us go to the other side. Will some things happen between when it was spoken and the other side? Yes. But what are you seeing? The other side. Hallelujah. That's where the challenge is. Jesus was sleeping, so the word was at rest. What should they be doing? They should also be at rest. What were they doing? They were busy panicking. How do you know what was in their heart? They said, Master, don't you care if we die? If we perish? What was they showing? They were showing what was where? In their hearts. What was meant to be in their hearts? Let us go to the other side. You're planning to marry June next year. You heard? Have you heard? Rise now, 50,000, Baba. And I say that. It's like it's Gary, everybody will eat at my wedding. You are adjusting. Based on what you have heard, what do you want? I want to get married. What did God promise you in the place of prayer? You will get married. What did you hear? Rice is now 50,000. What are you not doing? New information has come. What came before? You are going to get married successfully, so and so. Did he ask you? You will get married if the price of rice does not change. Did he say that? He didn't say that. Who is processing that? You are processing that. Have you heard a single cow now? They said one day 50,000 naira. Yeah. Well, see, that's the most small. That's the small one. So you are thinking, they say they are selling cow now for 1.2. We're going back to our village. People in the village will chase you back. Because they are facing the same thing. In other words, what is happening? Don't let them depart from your eyes, because the word was spoken before the prices went up. The word will do what it says it will do when the prices go up. The word doesn't change because prices change or policies change. The word of God regulates policies. It's God's wisdom given to you. So why is your confession changing? And that's how Satan sometimes was in your heart. You are making adjustment. It's like, how many guests do we say we invite? It's like 170. No. Let's do 75. How do we do that? People will know. No. Let's print card. Okay, let us buy those ones that already mean. Don't just 70. You'll be surprised. When some people will come, our sister Tolu, congratulations. I know you forgot, you were very busy. You cannot say that. I didn't forget, I didn't invite you. It's like you forgot, because I know you forgot. That's why I came, because I said, it's Tolu, I cannot miss it. I must be there. Have you experienced that before? Somebody told me that, I know. If it's anybody that, not Sister Tolu, she had been so kind. They didn't call you. It's deliberate. They are counting the chair. Everything is counted. They didn't call you, but you know, they were still like, Brother Femi. Wonderful Brother Femi. As good as he is. No. We must be there because it won't pain him. It won't pain him. It will not pain him. Brother, we don't want you to come. After he didn't invite you. Hallelujah. So, the word precedes every challenge. Therefore, the word regulates every situation. Where does it do that? When it is in your heart. Custom duties does not change the fact that you get your car if you process it in your heart. They are now collecting. Stop focusing on that's wrong. That's the wrong thing. What do you want? A car. That's what you're trying to process. So it's not custom duties you should be focusing on. What you focusing on? What did God say? What word have you received? What did God say that we do in that situation? Because God is a specialist at signs and wonders. He's a specialist at miracles. And that's why you have the testimony of scriptures to back you up, to show you God's track record. He's done it before. If he wants, he will do it again. So let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them where? In the midst of your heart. What will happen? Their life. That means, as it is in the midst of your heart, you stay with it, suddenly. Life, which is understanding, will burst forth. Then health. So health is a description of the manifestation of the word. In other words, what is spirit can affect the physical nature of the body once understanding has come, once the finding. So I keep them in the midst of my heart. What will happen? I will find. The finding simply means now the harvest has come. So there's a promised harvest in the word that will never rise to the surface until it connects with the heart. Look at Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, and I'm going to read from verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither what are your ways my ways. So the way I operate, the way I do things, is different from the way that natural man in the natural state does those things. So the only way I can bring you into my way is to allow my thoughts to become your thoughts. I see what it's about to say. It says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. So he's using a graphic image to communicate how superior the ways of God are compared to the ways of men. So with the ways of men, there's a limitation. With these of God, limitations are off. So Isaiah is prophesying and is showing us, because he's talking really about salvation here eventually. See what he says again. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain cometh down, for that illustration, and the snow from heaven, and returns not either, but waters the heart, and makes it to bring forth and bud, that it may give what? Seed to the sower, and what? Bread to the eater. So notice, inside the rain, inside is giving an illustration. If God's word come, it's a seed. Inside the word, when manifestation come, it is bread. It produces bread. See what it says again. It says, so shall my word be that goes forth where? Out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall what? Accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper where? In the thing whereunto what? Say the word is potent. The word is powerful. The word will work in my heart. It will bring forth the desired results. I know someone who had an issue with a particular habit. It was a smoking habit. Because God's word is so potent that it can restructure and renew your mind such that, listen carefully, the appetites you have that can destroy your life, the word of God will renew your mind. And so to speak, chemical processes will take place in your body to give you a different kind of taste. The reason why you persist in smoking is because an appetite has developed. The reason why you persist in drinking, particularly that this local gin, very destructive. I mean, I've seen an experiment before. They put a worm inside that thing. He died immediately. Now said, that's the picture of what will happen to somebody's liver. And they show you that vision. And the very next morning, you still go there. You know, I think you call it Paraga, Greek. Paraga, Greek. Just because that's Greek word, Paraga. You didn't get it. It's Greek. So, you see, go the next morning to go and take it. They showed you what happens to somebody's liver. That you are frying your liver. Why is it alive? So they tell you that you don't have too much time to live. Your skin is already changing. And it's not from cream. You still go to go and take it. Not because you want to die. Because you can't control yourself. I had to minister to someone before and was smoking cigarettes, and it has caused him a lot of bodily harm. I said, one of the greatest deceptions the enemy does is to make you think that addiction you have is just natural. It will go. This is 7 years, 10 years, 15 years. You are still smoking it. You took a stick, you put it to your mouth, you lit it. You are smoking it. You are the one who initiated it. Okay, stop smoking the stick. You cannot stop. The stick is not controlling you. That should let you know it's more than a stick. Yes or no? So you know you need the power of God. First of all, I minister God's power to you, man. It was set free. But I'm trying to say that God's word can be planted on the inside. This particular individual, who is not a minister, by the way, he was smoking and smoking. He had a difficulty after he became a Christian to stop smoking. So he began to take God's word. He will put God's word on the inside. And he was confessing God's word. They are life unto those that what? Find them. And what? Hell to all their flesh. So he was planting to uproot whatever else was there that was causing him to love and to want cigarette smoke. And they continue planting. Every time he passes by a particular malam where they sell it, he will stop by to buy. Listen carefully to what I'm about to say. He will take the cigarette and be confessing, I hate cigarettes. I do not like to smoke. He will take a cigarette, buy it, pay for it, light it, and smoke it. And confessing, I hate to smoke. I detest smoking. Some of you say, you detest smoking. Look at smoke everywhere. Like a chimney. You can buy it, detest smoking. No. The same principle. You go to the bar, you buy. I hate to drink. I do not like alcohol. I hate whatever is damaging to the body. I do not like to. And you are still buying, you are still paying. Then one day, he passed by the malam. The first thing happened was that he did not know they had to pass by. Because what used to draw him was not there. He had gone past before he realized that he was already past. Because what used to draw him to go and buy the cigarette was no longer there. Hallelujah. So the one was walking in the unseen. On the outside, when you see him, you are seeing cigarettes. Him smoking. You say this one is a chain smoker, but on the inside, liberty is being generated. Life is overcoming death. Weakness is giving way to God's strength because he refused to change the confession even when he was smoking. He was saying the same thing. One is stronger than the other. Life is stronger than death. He kept saying it. So suddenly, the first thing he noticed was he had passed by. And then suddenly, every urge to smoke died. Let me say something. When he comes by the word, you are able to keep your testimony. When he comes by the word, you're able to keep your testimony. If it's by alcohol, alcohol anonymous, temptation can still come. Because still we work of the flesh. But when it's by the power of God, when your taste bud for alcohol dies, you have no interest because the word has worked the word on the inside. Chemical changes take place in your entire body. So align with what you have been saying. I'm not poor. I'm blessed in Christ Jesus. I'm wealthy. I'm rich. I have wisdom. You have confessed you have money, but there's nothing in your bank account. It's not by bank account. It's that the world will create a pathway for what you have said to come to pass. The wisdom, the connections, the individuals that you will need to come across, the certifications you may need to go after, suddenly will start coming your way because the word has been put into motion and is going to produce because it will not return unto God's voice. Are you with me this morning? That's what. So it's a process. Now, the same way no farmer goes to the field, plants this morning and goes there the next day. There's no fertilizer like that. You planted this morning, you went there the next day to go and check whether it is sprouting. You know, if you keep digging up, will it ever sprout? No. So everybody knows there's a time period before harvest comes. Yes or no? Yes. The same thing also, where the word is working, it works in the unseen part of you. We can't see it, but it's producing results. What most people do is that they give in and they give up before the seed has had the opportunity to produce. That's why I don't believe there's a bad habit you cannot overcome. Maybe you don't want to overcome it. Maybe you are giving excuses. And as long as you give excuses, it will stay. Because that's your permission for it to stay. But if you want to overcome it, as you plant the word, you're planting the word on the inside, it will become a tree that will overshadow every other tree until there's no room for any other thing but life to find expression within you. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of what? Incorruptible. Glory to God. I have testimonies of some of them are my friends who were sicklers, who had a history of sickness. But somebody said, he was always sick. He had a particular bed in the hospital that was assigned to him. When you just come, go to your bed. Yes, everyone knows, everyone knows. Said, there is no 3 months period that he cannot be sick. He will not be sick. So he was fragile, he was frail. And then began to do something, began to ingest the word. Began to plan the word for their life unto those that find them. And that word helps. You're always making wrong decisions, but God's wisdom is available in his word. So you're not saying, I'm wise, I'm sound. God's intelligence is working through me. That intelligence is producing results. On the outside, I make sound decisions. I'm not afraid. My steps are ordered supernaturally into all the right situations and circumstances. You are saying it consistently. The word of God will, so to speak, override every previous mistake, because sometimes there's a particular way you used to think that's causing you to make repeated mistakes. So a new pattern will be created through God's wisdom that will bring you into a liberty and a victory that you didn't have before. Say, God's word is life. And it's light also. Hallelujah. That's important for you to understand. So as we're processing now, you can start a project. Let me give you a natural illustration. Before they sent men to the moon, they did a project upon them. This was done in the U.S. It's good to read some of those things. They have scriptural parallels sometimes when you read them. So they wanted to send them to the moon. You know the moon, there's no gravitational force there. Hallelujah. You know there's no gravitational force on the moon. Okay, so, and then so, what they did was they kept them in the room, listen carefully, for 28 days. And they kept them in an inverted state. You know what it means to inverted? That's upside down. They did everything upside down. You know when you first feel dizzy. So after a while, day one, day two, day three, day four, they saw everything from that inverted. Before the 28th day, when they returned them back to normal state, they were still seeing everything inverted. A neural pathway had been created in their mind to see everything inverted. So there has to be a process now to change what has been established to show that the mind of man can be programmed to think and to reason in a particular way. Listen carefully. You can program your mind to see victory only and no failure. The mind can be programmed that way. That's the gift of the heart that God has given. That's the gift of the mind. That is so. You can program your mind in such a way, using God's word as a tool. Now, this is natural, a natural experiment. And it's, how can you? You are standing like this and you are seeing I'm seeing all of you upside down. Because they put them in that condition for 20. Now, if you are trying to eat in that position, you don't think everything will be dropping. But after a while, they are eating perfectly in that same position. Let me see. How many of us are left-handed? Let me see. You are left-handed. Let me see. Okay. That means your left hand is your best hand. How many of, most of us are right-handed? Let me see. Almost everybody here, most of us. So you are left-handed now. That means that most of the time, if you are right-handed, your left hand may not be so good at many things, isn't it? But you know that it was training that got your hand there. There's a way you can train your left hand also until your left hand can even not just match up to your right hand, it can become better. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Same way also. The same way you can develop an affinity for the things of God, you can develop a distaste for sin. You can. By the words of your mouth. So a man puts words upon his lips. He's directing his whole life by what he's constantly saying, because that thing is now life inside and is producing results on the outside. That's why Psalm 1, verse 1, what does it say? Blessed is the man that walketh not in what? The counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. So it takes day and night to establish a law on the inside. It takes day and night. Someone says, why does it take day and night? Because it is day and night that the counsel of the ungodly is heard, that the way of the sinners is broadcasted, and the things of the scornful is all around. It's day and night. You hear it in day, you hear it in night. In fact, you don't need to go outside again now. It's on your phone. Have you noticed that? It's on your phone. So sometimes you are an unwilling participant until you drop the phone. And you can always drop the phone because there are other things you use the phone for. So some things will come to your space unbidden. Isn't it? On social space. So you are the one who will not determine. And that's why your mind can be conditioned negatively without even knowing. I was trying to explain to some individuals that I was in school when it happened. So I knew when it happened. And I think it happened mostly because an issue came up in the natural. Accommodation issue began to be an issue because people that couldn't, well, don't let me say it that way, but from what I heard, that was what happened. A lot of people couldn't get admission immediately to the universities, got admission to polytechnics in certain remote areas. I don't want to mention which particular polytechnic. So accommodation became an issue in those places because they didn't have facility on their campus. So people were taking accommodation in town. So then, what happened next was, if you have accommodation, I don't have, we share. That's same sex now. guy, guy, girl, girl. And then something happened afterwards. People began to cohabit. And it became normalized. It also was now normalized in Nollywood. In the movies that they show. I mean, if you notice that. It happened in the 90s. Now, you may not know you were being systematically brainwashed until you no longer see anything wrong in it. Is it wrong? Yes. Not even because the Bible says so. You were morally brought up that it is what? Wrong. But then you were now systematically brainwashed until you saw it as normal. So you're like, well, we're going to get married. That's why we're living together. It became accepted. It wasn't accepted before. It became accepted. Why was it accepted? When it was first thrown out, everybody fought against it. No, this is wrong, this is wrong. Then, after a while, nobody was saying anything again. Why? It was advertised through the movies we were watching. It was done in schools around us until it became what? Normal. So what is abnormal can become normal. Just be exposed to it long enough. Now, I said that to say this. What is supernatural can become normal. If you are exposed to it, what? Long enough. It's a training you can choose to. I always have money. Money always come my way. I'm never stranded. My accounts are never empty. Men always give to me. I always have jobs. Clients always look for me. You know what you are doing? You are setting a supernatural law in motion until it becomes your norm. That's what you are doing. If somebody can take the natural and turn it to a law, you can take supernatural what? And turn it to a law also. You can. So you can say, for the next 3 months, from October to December, these are the things I want to accomplish. I'm going to keep God's word in my heart. I'm going to maintain. I'm going to be speaking deliberately. Some of us, we have to even push some of those things in our houses so that you won't forget to say it on a daily basis. You are setting a law. Because if you don't, there is the way of the ungodly, the counsel of the ungodly. There's the way of sinners all around you that you'll be tempted to go into the minute God's word is not producing the results that you ought to have in your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's important. So choose. In his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth his food in season. His leaf also shall not what? Wither. And whatsoever he doeth. When my name is mentioned in the right places, I'm sought out by kings and by men of influence. That's my confession. That's what I believe. Wherever I go, I find favor. There are men who arise to help me in all situations. I'm never stuck. I'm never stranded. Glory to God. The mercy of God prevails in my affairs. Always. What are you doing? You are setting a law into motion. Look at Psalm 19 and then we close from there. Did you get something this morning? Because, again, the last 3 months of the year, you can reprogram things. It's up to you. But there's labor. What's labor? The labor is, what do you do with the word? It's incorruptible seed. It doesn't fail. It's no respecter of persons. It will produce. It will prosper where unto God has sent it. Where did God send the word? He sent the word to your heart. If you allow the word in your heart, it will produce the harvest that is promised. Psalm 19, I'm going to read from verse 7. And this should be part of your meditation. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. He makes the simple or the humble, he makes them wise. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening what? The eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgment of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than they than gold, yea, much than fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is what? Great reward. Not small, great reward. Psalm 19 should be part of your regular meditation. It's clean. It's righteous altogether. The testimony converts. It helps. It cleanses. It strengthens. It's law. It's spiritual. It's the potency and life of God. Giving to men, it will produce when it interacts with the hearts of any man. So that in your life, there's no scarcity. This season, there's no scarcity in your life. Every area of lack, you are supernaturally supplied. You experience abundance in all areas. Men arise to help you from the corners of the earth. Your name is mentioned in the right places. The glory of God rests upon you. You are to be desired and to be favored in the name of the Lord Jesus. The rest of the months of this year will be months of increase and prosperity for you. Promotion will seek you out and find you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You'll make the right decisions. God's wisdom will prevail in all your affairs. You will know exactly what to do. You will not be confused, but you'll be enlightened by God's Spirit God's Spirit will strengthen you. You will not know sickness. You will not know weakness. Strength is yours. Life is yours. Wisdom is yours. Grace is yours. You will prosper in all your endeavors. In the name of Jesus. Lift up your hands and give him thanks this morning. Oh, Father, we exalt you. We bless you. We're so grateful for your word. Thank you for the understanding and the clarity that we have received. Thank you for the days ahead. They are days of increase for us. Thank you for your hand pressing upon us mightily to fulfill your counsel, to fulfill your will. We give you glory. We give you praise. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray.